Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks have fallen into darkness, and the Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days, oh, the days of evil, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, what don't look good today in the neighborhood is there is a conspiracy to destroy black boys. I know we talk about a lot, in America, that there's a conspiracy to destroy black men's. Because we see black men's hooked on drugs and hooked on the alcohol. So black men's hooked on, chemical dependency, done dropped out of school, in jail, homosexuality. And so when you got men's on drugs, in jail, and just homosexuality, then it's hard for ladies, particularly black ladies, to find a good black man. And for years we'll focus on the conspiracy to destroy the black man. But actually it starts earlier than that. It starts earlier when the black man is a boy. And that's when the conspiracy started. And today we're listening to a presentation that was really taken back in the 1980s. And I can't pronounce this gentleman's name, but he's a great scholar, Dr. K-U-N-J-U-F-U. And that's his last name, the spelling of his last name, but he's great. And let me get out of the way so that you can listen to him for yourself. Get close to your radio and listen.
There's simply too much pressure over here. It's hard to find the balance, and women can't teach this. Only a man can do this. We need more black men who can do both of these areas. Physically balanced and mentally balanced. And spiritual in the middle. Comments, questions about what is a man? We've been looking at male behavior. Any comments or questions? Yes, Gwen?
Explain what you meant by saying women raise their daughters.
We're coming to that, Gwen. Matter of fact, I think it's probably the next point. Matter of fact, it is. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the next point. See, we were looking at the active conspirators, and we were looking at what the effect that causes on us in terms of male behavior. And we may not be able to control or to change Reagan, Rockefeller, Weinberger, but your question we can change. We can look at some mothers. And I said some, not all. The rumor is that some mothers raise their daughters and love their sons. My boy always loved his mama. 40 years of age, still went home with you. That needs to stop. Your boy is not yours. He is a future husband, a future father, and needs to be raised that way. Now, what do I mean by raised? Teach your son how to cook, to make up his own bed, to clean up his own bathtub ring because you raised your daughter. On the honor roll, every marking period. Goes to church with you every Sunday. And she can cook, sew, iron, and clean. All but then we have your son. Ain't never seen the honor roll. He plays basketball all evening long. Never goes to church and can't boil a hot dog. The rumor is we have some, not all, raising their daughters and loving their sons. Now I know the historical reason. The historical reason is our societies always try to destroy black men. The lynchings. So black mothers always want to overprotect their sons. What's the reason today? I know the KKK is on the rise, but what's the reason today? Is it because your own black man didn't stay? You now replaced your man with your son? Your son is not yours. He's a future husband, a future father, and needs to be raised that way. Quit telling these 9-year-old boys they the man of the house. Ain't no 9-year-old boy ready to be no man of the house. But because you told him that, he now begins to wonder. When you then bring over your man for the evening, Mom, I thought I was the man of the house. Why are you bringing him over? You can't have it both ways. If he's going to be the man of the house, quit bringing your boyfriend over on Saturday nights. You know what's sad, though? These brothers think what they can do with their mamas, they can do with their teacher, yes, their coach, and everybody else. In other words, living at home with you in a $100 pair of gym shoes, $80 pair of a Gucci handbag. In other words, these boys have mastered how to manipulate their mamas. And they think what they can do with you, they can do with everybody else. Only to find out what you let them get away with, no one else does. In other words, 90% of all teenage pregnancy programs counsel the women. We have teenage pregnancy running rampant. But as far as the last time I looked, it took two to make a baby. But 90% of programs let the brothers off the hook. The real question is, who is going to teach black boys to be responsible? And you don't start when he makes a baby. In other words, the real question is, who's going to teach black boys to be responsible for his personal hygiene, for his clothes, for his chores, for his room, for his siblings, for his allowance, for his studies, for his toys, for his schedule, and then his sex life? You don't start responsibility at 16. It starts very early. For example, when I was growing up, my father opened up a mutual fund account for me. And every year on my birthday, he explained to me, this is how much money you have in your account. But if you make a baby, all your money is going to take care of your child. Should it be any different? If I enjoy making it, shouldn't I also take care of it? So my oldest son, who was 15, I've been doing the same thing with him, the 9-year-old and the 15-year-old. So he told me last year, he said, Daddy, this money looks so good to me, I've just decided I'm not ever making me a baby. I'm keeping all my money to myself. But the point is, the boy understands responsibility. He understands if I make a baby, you will take care of it. There are mothers who know their son impregnated some girl on the same block, and they say, well, you know, boys will be boys. They will be whatever you let them be. I want to pause now. Explain this. Why are some mothers raising their daughters and loving their sons? Did you grow up in a household where you did more work if you're the sister than your brothers did? Why is that? And you know what else I believe? I believe that child rearing has a lot to determine in marriage. In other words, marrying a mama's boy is a very critical mistake. Because they can always go back to their mamas. Son, your room is just the way it always was. Got your favorite pound of cake whenever you want to get there. It is terrible marrying a mama's boy. Comments. It's my water break. Give me some feedback on mothers with their sons. What do you think about now?
Oh, we got an ad. Let me get this ad off. But that tells you that this tape, a lot of people have watched it.
It's devastating. It's on target.
Any other concerns about mothers and their sons?
Those boys will be boys is real bad. Right. That's exactly where you keep them as boys.
Right. Right?
Where you teach them to be responsible, they will grow up to be men. Right. Well, more apt to be anyway. Mm-hmm. But a lot of mothers.
You know, the shortage of men in the church, that can be corrected by taking our sons to church. The sons can stay home. It's optional to them, but not the daughters. In terms of playing outside, daughters in at a certain hour. The sons all night long. Double standards. Make the daughters stay, but not the sons. See, my point is, if black women, I'm coming right to you, if black women know what problems they have with their own black man, why don't they correct it with your son? See, if you know what the problems are with black men, your little son, that's somebody else's husband. All what you know needs to be done, put that into your son. Right, why perpetuate? If you really love your sisters. If you really love your sisters, correct the problem with your son. Yes, sir.
Isn't it hard to do, though, because the mother loves the child so much and it hurts the mother to whoop the child, to see the child hurt, so the child will continue to rule?
No. But that's interesting. They love their daughters, too, but they whip their daughters.
You know, I've seen the phenomenon is that the mothers are also spoiling some daughters.
True, but you know spoiling some daughters? And we don't have enough of these men there to do it.
Yeah.
Fathers?
Yeah.
That's my baby. In other words, it's very interesting. See, when the father's there, see, it's something about a black man or a father,
right,
seeing this male, his same size, sitting on his sofa, eating up all the food. Boy, you gotta go. But see, his daughter can stay there as long as she wants. But see, the mother knows the daughter. And so the mother, you gotta go too. See, mothers make the daughters go, and fathers make the sons go. But when the father's not there, there's nobody to make the son go. Yes, one more, then we got to go on. Yes, ma'am.
I also think it has something to do with the norms that are set in the system, too. And we try to emulate those as black people. Saying, for example, I was brought up on a farm and everybody worked together. But then in society now says the male has a role, the girl has a role. So the parents try to perpetuate that.
Correct. And what's sad about that is you can't fault the black man who you marry not wanting to wash dishes. He wasn't forced to wash dishes at home. So you can't fault him when he marries you?
You have to teach him early.
Next issue, female teachers. We're also very concerned about female teachers. Remember, the exact percentage is 83% in the elementary grades. The number of black children in public schools, 17%. But black children are 41% of all the special ed children. Now, 17 doesn't equal 41. LD, learning disabled, EMR, educable mentally retarded, BD, behavior disorder. It gets worse. If a black child is going to be labeled special ed, 85% of the time it's going to be a black boy. Why is it not 50-50 black boy, black girl? Well, the reason may not be with just black children, Bill Moyers and Patrick Monahan. It may be up here at the top. It may be that female teachers may not know that boys are different than girls. You all didn't know that, didn't you? That boys are different than girls. I only want the women to answer. The men know they're different. I want to now hear the women to share with us what are some of the differences between boys and girls in a classroom. Because only when you know what the differences are can you then change your methodology to meet the needs of their learning styles.
Boys,
yes?
Boys are generally more active, okay. More inquisitive.
Okay, so boys are more active. Yeah. What else?
They're more physical.
More physical? Okay, more aggressive. What else? Come on now, you all got the boys explain what they do.
I think the boys are more egotistical.
Okay, so large ego.
Large ego, and you have to
got a good group. Any others?
They're not quite as willing to please either as little girls.
Okay, so less cooperative. And we just want to add a few more because of time. To reinforce, we find the boys are more aggressive, are more athletically inclined, have a shorter attention span, a slower maturation rate, as you said, are less cooperative, are larger than the girls, influenced more by their peer group, more advanced gross motor than fine motor, not as neat as girls, are louder than girls, like wearing hats on their heads, have a different walk, have a larger ego, and last but not least, play the dozens more than girls. Do you know how many teachers, especially white teachers, white female teachers, don't know what the dozens are, don't know what signifying is? Now remember, we live in a world controlled by men. Males want to find out who's the best, or as they say, who's the baddest. Now, remember, in school, the rule is you can't fight. But they still want to find out who's the best. They create a new game called dozens, signifying. It is a verbal word game of the most prized person in the black community. Now, who is the most prized person in the black community? Your mama. We're going to talk about your mama right now. I saw your mama on the railroad track, looked at her and said, ooh, get back. It's a verbal word game. Now, the game is designed, it's a verbal word game of the most prized person, your mama. Now, if you break down and start fighting, you're getting kicked out of school, so I automatically win. If you break down and start crying, again, I automatically win. Now, before I go on, do you know how many black boys have been suspended or placed in special ed because they were playing the dozens? Do you know how many teachers don't understand those same two black boys who were playing the dozens, really getting down each other's mamas, were the best of friends 2 seconds later? They didn't understand the culture. Now, don't misquote me. I'm not condoning the dozens nor black English, but they both exist. And if you want to move a child from one to the other, it may not be what you say. It may be how you're saying it. In other words, black English. First day of school, 5-year-old girl walked into your classroom, speaking what she heard, black English. When you condemn the language, you've done more than condemn the language. You're now destroying a child's self-esteem. The language is legitimate. Has different rules to it. It exists, legitimate rules to it. And if you want to move a child from black English to standardized English, you don't condemn him. You make him feel good where he is. As you well know, Albert, there are some skills to playing the dozens. I'm a former teacher, and I had some very good dozen players. There are some skills to playing the dozens. First of all, you have to have an expanding vocabulary. You have to have the ability to make words rhyme. You have to have quick thinking skills. You have to be comfortable public speaking. And I knew that. So I used to tell Willie, my best student, Willie, if you were that good playing the dozens, making words rhyme, vocabulary, all the like, I want you to be the MC at all my programs. I want you in my drama department or my spelling bee team. In other words, I stroked him. I made him feel good where he was. And then he was willing to give me those skills in my classroom. But the real issue is, do we let these boys know we respect their culture? Because if you condemn it, they will fight you every step of the way. And you know what else they will do? They will also fight you in what we call the showdown. The showdown between black boys and female teachers. You see, black boys don't know when they're men. And black men have not made it clear to them when they become men. So they think taking a female teacher one-on-one is going to make them a man. Especially around fourth grade. From fourth grade on, they want to find out who's in charge of class. It's called a showdown. There are numerous options in the showdown between a black male and a female teacher. Showdown number one. She says, sit down, very unassertively. Well, Willie may sit down, but it may be later on in the afternoon. Willie wins showdown number one. Showdown number two. She responds to Willie some of the time, but not all the time. She's inconsistent. Well, I believe Willie wins each one of those she does not respond to. Showdown number three. She says, I'm going to suspend you or place you in special ed. We may lose to the assistant principal or special ed placement, but he did not do what she said. He wins showdown number three. Showdown number four. She says very assertively, sit down now. You know how the good ones do it? They look at you. Strong eye contact. They look you back in line. And she wins showdown number four. Showdown number five. She responds to Willie each and every time. She's consistent. And she's wins each one of those showdowns. Then the last one. A friend of mine in Chicago told me she had a boy who thought he was so bad, he was not going to stand up. He was going to run to class sitting down. He's going to make her nervous. He's going to look at her and smile at her. So every time Audrey looked at him, he looked back and smiled. But then Audrey looked back with the same strength and smiled. This went on all day long. Willie looked and smiled. Audrey looked back and smiled. At the end of class, some of the words, Willie came to Audrey and said, okay, I understand that you are in charge of this class. But the reason is she's done three things well. She, first of all, loves him, and he knows that. She respects him, and he knows that. And she also respects his culture, and he knows that. Because of that, there is no showdown, because he knows that she is in charge of the class. What I'm getting at, to return back to this, if you know that boys have a shorter attention span, what should that do to your lesson?
Oh, we got an ad. Let me change this. And all right. Okay.
Make it shorter or make it more interesting. If you understand that boys are more advanced gross motor than fine motor, what should you allow more in your classroom? More hands-on learning activities. In other words, my point is, if you understand that boys have different learning styles, rather than taking them out of your class and putting them in special ed, why don't you alter your learning styles, your methodology? But you know what I'm saying? Most principals know that 5% of their teachers make over 30% of the referrals. If that's the case, why remove the child? Why don't you remove the teacher? How is the child doing so well in third grade with a good teacher and now labeled EMR in fourth grade? It may not be the child. It may be the teacher. Surely it's a shame we can't stay on this longer on learning styles. Hyperactivity, that's a value judgment. If you know what hyper is, God must have told you what normal is. Hyper is a value judgment. It may not be that blind boys are hyperactive. It may be the lesson plans are simply too slow. Think about that the next time you want to place a child in special ed. Some other issues. I want to wrap up with regards to what is the conspiracy to destroy black boys. I believe the conspiracy is made up of white male supremacy, institutional racism, lack of black male role models, the male socialization process, parental apathy and double standards, low teacher expectations, a female design classroom, a distorted media, and an influential peer group. In terms of the question of what is the conspiracy, I know you can't take all those down the way I gave them to you, so please read the book. I won't repeat them again, but those are the major factors that make up what is the conspiracy to destroy black boys. Male supremacy, institutional racism, lack of male role models, male socialization process, parental apathy, raising their daughters and loving their sons, low teacher expectations, a female-designed classroom, a distorted media, and an influential peer group. Now, what I want to begin to look at is, what can the home do to stop the conspiracy to destroy black boys? It's not enough to describe it. Remember, the book is called Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. I want to look at it from the home, from the classroom, from the community, and then we'll give you the Donna Willey theory, or the Donna Kathy theory and the Eddie Willey theory. In terms of the home, in order to stop this conspiracy, we must first of all become aware. I believe the first way to solve any problem is to know the problem exists, to study. We have got to study more. And then we, especially women, have got to admit that boys need role models, especially male role models. And after we admit that, then we need to identify some male role models that will play that kind of position with our boys. And please don't lie to me and say you don't know any. In other words, on your block, in your extended family, where you work at, please don't say you don't know at least one positive black male. In other words, just because the biological father's not there does not mean there's not some other black men available. We believe in extended family concept. We also want you to set a contract on what this man will do with your son on an ongoing regular basis. And for the fathers, please quit taking your sons only to the ball game and to the zoo. It's amazing. Fathers take their sons to the zoo and to a ball game. When it's time to go to the grocery store or to the barbershop, go with your mama. In other words, I believe that black boys know an awful lot by seeing you in very natural situations, at the oil change, at the barbershop, just talking smack on the street. So please quit thinking that you can only interact with your children in some child-centered activities. They need to see what you do on an ongoing, regular basis. We must also work on black boys' fine motor development. In other words, early on, in kindergarten, we're labeling black boys as being behind because the girls work with crayons, pencils, and scissors. The boys have been working with trucks. We have to work on black boys' fine motor development. We also have to work on a non-sexist household. In other words, teach your son how to cook, how to sew, how to clean. We also recommend you teach your son sex education and before 12 years of age. The studies show we're teaching children sex ed after they've already started. It should be before, not after. They've already made a baby after 12 and 13. We have to work on that. We must also monitor the peer group. You know, good parents have always done a number of things well with the peer group. First of all, good parents know who their children's friends are. They invite them over to get to know them better. And many times parents program the peer group to make sure their child runs with the right group. My parents enrolled me on a track team. I had to run cross country, indoor, and outdoor track. Rather than running around a gang, they had me running around a track. My parents did that intentionally to make sure. Good parents also monitor television. TV cannot be turned on by itself. Quit blaming the television set. We must also look at us. And then last but not least, we must listen to our children. Many times they tell me, my parents don't listen to me. That's why the peer group is winning. The peer group listens. Many times we don't. You know, the average father only spends 7 minutes with his children. The average mother, 34 minutes. That's a tragedy. But if that's all you're spending, make sure it's quality time. Make sure you're listening to them. We recommend these strategies for the home. For the school, we recommend the following. First of all, again, we always believe in study. You must first of all become aware there's a conspiracy to destroy black boys. After that, we must increase male teachers. My first desire is to increase male staff. My second one would be those in the upper grades at least for 1 year to teach in the lower grades. In other words, what I recommend is that we have more black men before fourth grade, or at least in the intermediate division. In addition to that, if we cannot get this, we want more black role models coming into the school. If we cannot get them on staff, the least we can do is invite black men in. I encourage black men to volunteer in your local school because the men are not there, so we need to have you there. In addition to that, we also want to change the symbol for change is the triangle, to change the methodology, to begin to use a right brain learning activities. In other words, more hands-on learning objects, in terms of fine arts, artifacts, pictures, and the like. We also recommend that we emphasize academics over athletics. We must give more glory to academic achievement than we do athletic achievement. These are the strategies we recommend for the school. To one, study it, increase male teachers, increase role models, look at a right brain learning style, and emphasize academics over athletics.
There's a rather...
Oh, we got another ad. Let me get this ad off and we'll go right back to our program.
Lastly, for solutions, we also want to look at the community. The community has a program to destroy black boys. We must have one to protect and develop black boys. One program is the Boy Scouts. It's an excellent program. It teaches black boys skills. But the problem is the Boy Scout master may be homosexual, may not know black history. The Boy Scouts may be nothing more than the Junior Army, but it's an excellent program. It teaches black boys skills, but it may not do anything else. Another program is Big Brothers, an excellent concept. It gives black males a role model, but the Big Brother may be homosexual, may not know black history. If so, the conspiracy is going to continue. What we recommend is you blend Boy Scouts skills, blend Big Brothers role models into an African program called Simba, S-I-M-B-A, Simba. It's the African word for young lion. And we now have 17 Simba chapters across the country. These are programs where black men are not talking about the problem, they are working on it. These are black men who've organized themselves to work with black boys to teach them skills, give them a role model, teach them black culture, and the major objective to go through the rites of passage into manhood. At my church in Chicago, we have a Simba program where in February during Black History Month or during December during Kwanzaa, we take our boys who've gone through our criteria and through a special ceremony called the rites of passage. I repeat, you have some black men talking about what they are going to do. You have some black men organized to begin to work on that kind of issue. We recommend Simba. It blends all three of those together. Closing point, and then we'll open up for some questions. Donna and Kathy, I mentioned at the very outset that one of every two husbands physically abuses his wife. Now, many of the other problems only with the men who did the beating. There's more to it than that. You see, any respectable woman would make it very clear to her man, you put a hand on me, and either I'm leaving or you better not go to sleep. There are two kind of women in America, and they go by the names of Donna and Kathy. You see, I sincerely believe this. I believe that men know who to beat and who not to. I believe that. And I believe that men are not going to respect women until women, first of all, respect themselves. And there are two kind of women in America, Donna and Kathy. Now, Donna feels very good about herself. She would like to have a man, but she don't have to have one. I mean, the son was still Shad. God will still be first in her life. Donna wants one, but she ain't got to have one. But then you get Kathy, taking any old way comes through the door with another woman, with a bottle, with a balled up fist. All Kathy wants is a man, and a half a man will do. I want all the Kathys to raise their hands. You know, I've yet across the country see a sister admit to me she's either Kathy. You know what they tell me? They say, Juwanza, well, I'm a Donna during the weekday, but I'm a Kathy on the weekend. Well, I'm Donna summertime and a Kathy the other half. It's hard being down in America when you have two women for every one man. It's easy to lower your standards. If you want to be a Kathy in America, the theory goes like this. For every sister we can get to quit acting like Kathy and to begin to act like Donna, what this means is less Kathys and more Donnas. As a result of having fewer Kathys and more Donnas, we would have fewer brothers taking advantage of women like Kathy and have to expect more women like Donna. I am tired of women always blaming the brothers. The last time I looked, you still determined who gets your phone number, who takes you out, and every step along the way. It's hard being a Donna in America. If you want to be a Donna, there may be some lonely Friday and Saturday nights. But if you believe in you, you'll have peace of mind. If you want to be a Donna in America, it means you go back to school, get off of welfare, learn you a skill for a career to take care of yourself. If you want to be a Donna in America, it means you will quit watching them soap operas all day long, especially all of my children, and begin to take care of your own. If you want to be a Donna in America, it means you will quit eating those cookies and chocolates all evening long. You know, the rumor is the older women get, the bigger you get. Watch what you eat and exercise. And then last but not least, if you want to be a Donna in America, you need to put God first in your life. You didn't know? It takes longer for boys to grow up. And some boys never grow up. But rather than marrying a boy as a Kathy making a mistake, we encourage you to wait. But while you're waiting, don't complain. Keep developing yourself. So when the brothers finally get ready, you'll be ready too. A good marriage still takes two and not one. Now, as you well know, when we used to end with the Donna Kathy theory, But the women got on our case in Juwanza. If you're going to talk about the conspiracy to destroy black boys, don't end it talking about us. End it where you started, with the brothers. So I now want to give you the Eddie Willie theory. Eddie is dedicated to my father. His name is Eddie, and I believe he's a very strong example of a black man. There are two kind of men in America, Eddie and Willie. Willie makes babies. Eddie takes care of them. In other words, Willie believes it's not the quality, it's the quantity. Willie has made a lot of babies. Eddie believes in not only taking care of them, he hugs them. He believes that men should hug their children, works with them on their homework. Eddie takes care of them. Willie makes them. Point number one. Point number two, Willie only works, and maybe not even then, outside the house. Eddie works inside and outside. In other words, Willie may cut the grass. He may rake leaves, but he definitely is not working inside the house because men work outside and women work inside, but not Eddie. Eddie believes in whatever it takes. Washing dishes, making dinner, whatever it takes. And then last but not least, Willie is very insecure. And so Willie verbally and physically abuses his woman, but not Eddie. Eddie is very secure. In other words, Eddie encourages a woman to go back to school, to get a promotion on her job. Eddie encourages his woman to go to church. You know what I even heard? Eddie goes to church with her. And the reason is Eddie is his wife's best friend. And because of that, he understands that putting his woman down is not the key. The key is feeling good about yourself. When you feel good about yourself, there's no need to put anybody down. I want all the Donalds and all the Eddies to stand up and give yourselves a very strong round of applause. Thank you very, very much.
All right, all right, all right. Well, that was the conspiracy to destroy black boys. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the situation. And Ghostbusters, I'm sorry, Ghostbusters.